So, all right. So you had a question. What was your thought? And then we'll talk about ninth step, and we'll talk about amends and stuff and different things. Yep.
You said that after your responses to this list, you have them do something concrete.
Right.
In the world.
Very good. Yep. So, for instance, you know, with that letter about the molestation letter, like it ended up getting written and put in my God box, right? So, when they read the letters to me, so they'll read everything. So, like, I have a sponsee right now who just is finishing a four-step, and it's a long one. So she's got about 150 names on it. So she'll have written 150 letters. And the thing is, it doesn't take a long time, right? I mean, thank goodness for computers. So, I mean, you can quickly do this. You know, you can ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, you get through them. And it doesn't take them long to read them. But again, you just really want to get into that mindset that I always have a part in something, right? If I'm angry at you and it goes on, I have a part in it. So with something, sometimes they'll read some. And once they've read the letter, we're complete. But usually, if they read it, then they need to go on and do something. So they might read a letter from somebody that they, from fifth grade. So what I'll have them do, and if they really did something hurtful, I'll have them try and find that person. You know, try and find them on Facebook. Try and find them on the Internet. See if you can find them. I've had a sponsee who actually went back to his elementary school because he remembered when he was, so he'd read the letter, right, and he had stolen money from the lunch, you know, the milk money or something. So he went back to that elementary school in East L.A. and, you know, went there. The school was still there and, you know, gave the principal money. She, you know, burst into tears. She just couldn't believe it, right? And this happened 40 years ago. So that's it, kiddo. So he would read the letter and then would say, okay, so now we've got some action to do. That's good. I'm glad that you see your part. And that's, again, the other thing, we didn't really talk about this around fourth step. This isn't clarified in the book. That's why we know it's not the be-all and end-all, right? You are dependent upon a lineage of great sponsorship because the book doesn't talk about when you've done hurtful things. So, for instance, the book doesn't have anything that talks about if you've stolen money. So when I take people through this and we do the big book inventory, they do those three parts, but I say, when you finish the resentment part, call me. Because then I'm going to say, it's time now to talk about who might, now you turn it around, who might resent you, right? What did you do? Just like we talked about around the sex one. So you turn it on its head, because the first thing is, you know, who am I pissed off at? What did they do? But then you turn it on its head. Who might be pissed at me? What did I do? And then it affects me in all these ways, right, in the third column, that I have this in my life, and it affects me that I'm not forgiving myself of this because I did this hurtful thing. We know I'm not forgiven because it's on my mind and it ended up on a four-step, right? It's really important to get that. The other thing I'll do is the next thing is I say, did you steal any money? Did you take any food? Did you take anything that belonged to anybody and you did it without permission? Because they also then do an inventory. I say, just write a list. There's nothing. The book doesn't talk about that, right? And there's a lot of dishonesty, right? There's a lot of goofy stuff that goes on here. I ain't the only one in this room, I suspect, who's, you know, did some stealing, right? So they write a list. You know, who did you steal from? What did you take? And as it was clarified to me right from the beginning, and again, remember, stealing was a big part of my story, shoplifting, the whole thing. And I said to my sponsor something about, because I'd been here about a year, I guess, by the time I finished it. And I said something, oh, yeah, no, I know, and about that, all that stealing stuff, yeah, no, that's a living amends, right? We're going to do the living amends. I'm dictating to my sponsor how we're going to work my program. I said, so that's the living amends, right, because I don't steal anymore. And she said, what is that? I said, well, living amends is where you've changed your life, right, because you've paid your dues because you changed your life. And she said, well, sweetheart, I'm going on the assumption you're here to change your life. That's why you're here. So good. Yeah, living amends. Woohoo. She said, but if you stole money, somebody's getting paid back. And I said, well, I honestly did not. I said, I remembered McDonald's, so she had me make a donation to Ronald McDonald House, right? $300. But I honestly did not remember where I shoplifted from. She said, well, what would you estimate the amount was? And I said, maybe $1,000. So I had to make donations, right, to charities, anonymous donations. Because she said, you don't get to sign your name on a big check and march it in and be all proud and everything. She said, because when you shoplifted, you didn't walk out and say, like, you can't have my name's Sheila, here's my phone number, in Wilson Hall on campus, bye, right? You know, she said, it's anonymous, right? And those things, because I had so much of that stuff to do, I got complete in a way that was just unbelievable, right? We're not going to have time for the story, but if we do at the end, I'll tell you a story about with my sister. I had a sister who was furious at me. I'll save it. Somebody remind me the Elizabeth story. Yeah, I knew this was going to happen. So remind me. If we have time, I'll tell you the story with my sister. Anyway, so that's the thing on that amendment. Anybody else? Questions on amendments or thoughts or anything else? Yep. This is trouble.
I caused a hard part to another person because I tried to justify my actions without realizing that because I am not getting what I think is deserved for me, I hurt the other person. And so I have to, if you say, turn the thing upon yourself.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just really important to just and the cool thing is it seems like what scares. Yep,
I'll repeat the question.
Thank you. Will try. I'm really not sure what his question was. What is your question, Lou? What's your point?
More of a comment that if I've done something, say hurtful to my wife because she hasn't given me something that I wanted. That I caused the problem to her coming back to me, if that makes sense.
So I think he's kind of talking about, you know, if I've done something hurtful because I got, you know, my feelings hurt back here or whatever. It's all that, you know, it's like that game, you know, on a bat when you keep putting your hands on top of one another. I can't do it because I got a mic. But you know how when you keep doing this and it's the whole thing. You know, the whole process here is about growing up, right? And the reality is if my feelings get hurt, because this happens to me a lot, Lou. If my feelings get hurt by my husband, I have a responsibility. Now, this is tough because I didn't see it in my home. I didn't learn this. So, it's been a process of learning it. And thank you, God, for Al-Anon. I mean, Al-Anon has been invaluable to me. But I have a responsibility to say, well, honey, sweetheart, that hurts my feelings. Or, gosh, when you said that is that what you meant? Or, you know, I mean, it's all new stuff so that he doesn't get torpedoed later because I'm pissed off at something he did hours before. But I think that's kind of what it did. We get that? Is that kind of what you were alluding to? Yeah. No, that comes to me a lot. We should talk about that on outreach because that comes up for me a lot. And did you have a question, love?
Yeah, thanks.
Yep.
When you're working with a sponsee, how do you know when it's time for them to move on to the fifth step from the fourth step?
How do I know when it's time for them to move on to the fifth step from a fourth step?
When they're finished their amends, or you leave it up to them for the fourth step?
Are you talking? It sounds like you're kind of talking about amends. Are you talking about eighth and ninth step?
No, I'm talking fourth step.
When do they read the fifth step? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We schedule a time. So they start a fourth step, and we schedule the time, and it's usually 2 weeks out. And then I say, you know, only once. And again, it's not any kind of a threat or not any nonsense like that. I don't, you know, if being mean to somebody was going to solve somebody's problem, my dad would have solved my problem in childhood, right? So, and not me, but I always say to somebody, because again, it's all predicated on love and kindness, right? But I say, if they get to the end of the 2 weeks and you need more time, we'll take some more time. But here's what I'd recommend, sweetie, is that I wouldn't take a long time with this, right? I wouldn't, you know. Four steps tend to be hellish, so don't dally in hell. I mean, just get it done. And I say that tongue-in-cheek because the reality is they're actually not hellish at all. But when somebody just gets going, it feels like a big deal. It feels, oh, this is worse. It's, you know, it is the easier, softer way. But, you know, people don't know that going in. But, yeah. So, kiddo, I schedule it ahead of time. And then if they don't finish, you know, it's their journey, their program and stuff. Nobody takes a long time. They kind of get moving. Yep.
If you don't finish and you haven't been taking a long time because you've been doing it a longer way, do you think it's okay to do part of it?
Oh, sweetie, I think it's always okay to do everything. And whatever your sponsor says is right.
In my head, you have to wait until it's completely done. So it just keeps putting off. And I have like 10 pages already done.
Lori, it's whatever makes sense to you. I've done it both ways. I've been in the midst of a four-step and read it, and all I know is I just do exactly what my sponsor asked me to do and tells me to do.
So if I take like the first 10 pages, let's say the first three people on my list that I have, and I just gather them for a couple hours, I'll do those three people, and then go back and do like three more, even if it's okay.
Honey, I think it's absolutely okay, and it matters. You know, like that's my 2 cents, and that's about what it's worth. You know,
well, 100%.
No,
it has to be 100%.
Oh, that's yeah. No, I really understand. I get caught up in that too. It's that old black and white thinking. I am not somebody here. You know how we talk about like, oh, you know, you never say no to an AA or an OA request. I don't subscribe to that at all. That's more of the black and white thinking that got me in trouble. It's all about learning to live in the gray areas. You know, I remember somebody called me and said, oh, will you come lead a meeting in Riverside? And I said, well, yeah, possibly. When does the meeting meet? And they said, oh, it's at 5 o'clock on a Friday. I will not. I said, I will help you, you know, try and find, you know, somebody closer to Riverside who might do that, but, and my sponsor is fine with that. You know what I mean? It's just, it's, I gotta find the gray area. I have to learn to take care of me again, because my first program was Al-Anon. So I do not know how to take care of myself. I really don't. My whole life is all about what can I do for you. So then I came in AA where they say, you're selfish and, you know, think of other people. I mean, that was like an elixir for me. Like, oh, cool. That comes very naturally to me. So it's all about finding that balance, you know. But I do it in concert with sponsors. I mean, I called my sponsor. And if my sponsor had said, oh, no, precious, you actually are going to lead a meeting in Riverside, I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have gotten in my car at 10 a.m., driven to Riverside with Ethan Grace. I would have found a library, found a movie theater, found some place to have a nice afternoon lunch, and I would have gone and led that meeting. Because if my sponsor told me to do it, I would have done it. Because I just do, right? Because that works for me. But she said, no, I think that's just fine. And the person on the phone was gracious and fine. And I said, look, if you really get in a pinch, you let me know. And he said, I'm not going to get in a pinch. But thank you. That was kind. You know, because, again, it's all about the kindness and the love and surrender, right? But I got to take care of me first. If I don't take care of me, you don't have a chance. So I think it's fine. Do whatever you're saying. If it makes sense to your sponsor, it makes sense to me. Yep.
What if someone doesn't want to accept your meds?
Yeah. No, I know. I've had that happen. Let me get to this gentleman's story, and I am going to tell you my sister's story, because it's pretty amazing. Because I had a sister who didn't accept my amends for a quarter century, and I'm not exaggerating, 25 years. Yes, what's your...
How essential is it to actually go and do it to the person making amends? When it's possible.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, it's between you and your sponsor and God. I just know that I had to pay a lot of people back, so I had to put money in hand, and my sponsor wouldn't let me mail checks, and she said, bring cash, don't send him a check, because the check they might not cash, but nobody's going to toss cash. So obviously it was really important for me to be in the room for things like that. And I owed amends to I'd stolen from my father, so I put money in his hands. Stolen from my mother, so I put money in her hands. Again, stealing was a lot of it for me, and I, you know, stole from employers and different things. So I had a lot of people I needed to stand in front of. And, you know, as I got reminded when I kind of complained once about, oh, you know, I have to give them my money, and my sponsor said, darling, you're not giving them your money, you're giving them their money back. So you know, so it was really good for me. And very humbling. And again, it's remember that we're not talking humiliation, we're talking humbling. Because the wonderful thing is, when you're standing in front of somebody and saying, I stole from you and I'm really sorry, right? Somewhere, I have to have discovered some self-love somewhere. I really do. Because it is. It's very, you know, it's very humbling. And it's very, but it also means that somehow I've embraced that was the best I could do. That was kind of a spiritual awakening I had about a month ago. I got it. That, you know, I just turned 52 at the end of October, and I had this awakening. I thought, what if I imagine that everybody is giving me the best they've got every single moment, right? What if I lived, you know, going in, because it was, you know, heading into my new year, I thought, what if I, for the rest of the year, I just said, in this new year, this 52nd year, 53rd year, I've turned 52, so I'm in my 53rd year, right? But what if I imagined that everybody was giving me the best they've got every moment? How would my life look a year from now? You know? Like, it's really wonderful. It really is. It takes me out of being a victim. It lets me be okay with you doing what you're doing, which Al-Anon has been trying to teach me for 28 years. And for me to get that about you, then I'm going to get that about me. That means that I'm doing my best at every moment.
And I'll tell you what, that's real good for my health. That's real good for my nervous system, right? And I need that. Yeah? So it's really cool what we do here. So you'd have the question about the forgiveness, right? So I had done, I had a sister, and she'd given me a key to her apartment. I'm not quite sure what that was about or why she did that, but she did that. And I was drinking, and it was in the midst of my drinking and drugging, and I would get into her apartment, and I'd wear her clothes and stuff, and I hope I got, you know, stuff dry cleaned. I don't know what I did, but I know she got, you know, she finally put two and two together and realized what I was doing. And then I'd gotten sober in AA, and she was furious. She was furious. So I got to the amends. I contacted her about the amends. I offered her money. I mean, I had cash in hand, and she refused it, right? She was furious, refused it. And then I came, you know, it came up again, because remember, I cycled through the steps. So it came up like a year and a half later. I did the same thing. I guess it was on the third time. I actually bought clothes. I bought about $200 worth of clothes, and I put it in the mail and sent it to her because she lived, you know, across the country. And that was the third time. Second time again, I'd offered it. We were on a walk at a family funeral, and she said, "Oh, that's fine. I've forgiven you. It's all right." And then she went back to, you know, Oregon where she was living and continued gossiping about me and the family. She was a liar and a thief. You can't trust her. This is what she did to me 3-4 years ago. So again, 2 years later, right, that was the third time where I did it. And my sponsors, and I mailed the stuff. And my sister, again, continued the gossip, continued all the stuff. She started having children with her husband, did not want her children to have anything to do with me, wouldn't send me holiday pictures, nothing, right? And my sponsor said, "You are complete. You are done. 3 times and you're out. It is not about you anymore. It's about her," right? But she continued this stuff, right? So then she has a 17-year-old daughter. Okay, I got to see if I can do this because we're taping this. But, let me think through as I'm doing this. Anyway, she had a daughter, and my husband and I had gotten married, and I got married in here in California, and, you know, I came from one of those crazy families, right? Nobody from my family came to my wedding.
Wow.
Right? And it's not like they live in Asia. I mean, my family is in Michigan and Texas. Nobody from my immediate family came to my wedding. I had an aunt who had been an aunt by marriage, and there had been a divorce and a scandal years ago, right? And she lived in Fontana. She came, right? She'd been divorced out of our family for 15 years. She came, but nobody else from my family came, right? But because I got very well trained here and trained not to be a victim and stuff, right? I on the day of my wedding, I called all of my 3 surviving siblings. And my one sister, who was angry at me, the one I'm referencing, she didn't even send the RSVP back. And I thought, really? I mean, there was a stamp on the envelope, you know, really? Just throw me a bone, right? Say no. Say hell no, but just put it in the mail, you know? Wouldn't do it. I called all 3 of my siblings on the day of my wedding, got them all on the phone, right, in separate phone calls, and I just said, "I know you're thinking about me today. I know you'd be here if you could. I know you love me." And you know, my sister, my one sister that I'm really close to, said, "Oh, yeah, you know, I would. I love you." And, you know, it's funny. Anyway, it's funny. And then my brother, you know, my brother's on the phone. He's like, "Oh, yeah, today. Yeah, today. Yeah, I'm thinking about you today." I said, "Yeah, because you're thinking, I know, because you know I'm getting married today," right? Like, he didn't even remember, right? 6 months later, my husband and I voted again, because you have trained me well. I can't resent. I can't, you know, this was 5 years ago. I can't resent. I can't hold grudges. I can't not forgive. It will take me out, right? And remember the shit I was doing at 10? Don't want to go back there? So you trained me very well. So 6 months later, my husband and I went home to Michigan, had a reprise of our wedding, and that sister of mine who did not forgive me, I got her daughter here for the wedding. So her husband and I, because her husband started putting two and two together that my sister, his wife, was kind of a wing nut regarding me and not forgiving me. So he got together with me and said, "Look, I want her to come to your reprise of your wedding." So we got her here. She got to connect with her cousins, right? And because my sister, she also doesn't get along with my other sister. She doesn't get along with anyone. And then the niece went back, had a great time at our wedding in Michigan, went back home, and my sister started the story again. Started the, you know, "Oh, you can't trust her. I can't believe you let her go. She was mad at her husband. She did a number on her poor husband because he let her come." Right? Just the insanity. Right? The insanity. And Bill, are we recording this, and is this going to go up on a site or something? Or is this going to go on our website? Okay. All right. Well, I probably need to just kind of
take part of the story out. At any rate, something happened to with my sister in her family, and she ended up reaching out to me. She had something horrible happen to one of her children, and she reached out to me. And it was the beginning, right? So then I got invited to that daughter's high school graduation, and then it got worse. I mean, it was just amazing. At any rate, so long story short, that sister who never forgave me because I had worn her clothes and stuff and would not forgive me for 25 years, I went to her house, and she actually, you know, she left me alone in her house, and I hadn't brought enough warm clothing. She said, go in my closet, take whatever you want. We're going out tonight. And my husband and I are going back, and I just got communication from both her and her husband. She said, we're not coming back to the 31st, but if you get in, she said, come a couple days early. Just be in the house. Be by yourself. Right? Just come stay at our house. Like, that's the transformation that happens here. It's amazing what happens here. If I am fully committed to what you direct me here. Now, that's pretty drastic. That is pretty drastic to be completely in love with my family and not hold a resentment. Nobody came to my wedding. I've told strangers that story. Like, I was gone to the library once and somebody had on the Johnson family reunion or something, and I made some comment, and I said, oh, do you have a big family reunion? And she said, oh, my God. She said, every year, 200 people showed up. She said, do you do family reunions? I said, well, we did one once. I said, about 20 people came. She said, wow, you have a small family. I said, no, we have a big family. That was just the half that would come because the other half wasn't coming, right? And then, and we did that one year, and it didn't work out well. And again, she and I kept up the conversation, and I ended up telling her about the wedding and how nobody came to my wedding, and she was just horrified. She said, your sister in Texas, she should have gotten in a car and just driven to L.A. You know, I mean, and that's just how it is. And again, I get to have zero resentment around this. And listen how I use the word get, right? Listen to that verb choice. As though it's a prize to get to resent anybody, right? Oh, I get to stick a knife in my gut. Whew, right? Fun. That's how it is for me. You have trained me so well here. You have trained me so, so well. And so at my wedding, I won't tell you the long story, but somebody who worked for me, who came to my wedding, and my husband and I were doing our honeymoon, she got into our home while we are on our honeymoon and burgled our home, right? And she had stolen from me at the wedding as well, at my wedding. And she was somebody who worked for me. Because you have trained me so well, right, when I was part of the police sting where she got caught, and as I'm driving to the sting, all I could think about was that I loved her and forgave her. Right? I wasn't going to let her be in my house anymore. She worked for me in my home. I wasn't going to let her in my house anymore. Right? I wasn't going to let the people from my wedding, one of my best friends is a judge, I wasn't going to let my judge friend hire her. Right? I wasn't going to let my other friend hire her, you know. But I loved her and forgave her. Why? Because remember what I told you? I did a lot of stealing in my life. I'm in no position to judge anybody. No position at all. And I'll tell you what, that judge friend of mine, she said, that's crazy. That's crazy that you forgive her. She thinks it's crazy. She doesn't understand this, and it's unfortunate. She's not a fan of 12-step programs, which is unfortunate. Right. So, but again, and I will get, I see that hand. But again, what we do here, this is really amazing what we do here. It's really radical. But you do this for years, years and years and years, and all of a sudden you're just living by this stuff. You're just living by it. And it's a good way to live. But it is radical. And it does not make sense to people outside there. It just doesn't. It doesn't. Yep.
Thanks, Sheila. So, how has the 8th and 9th step help you change your behavior toward your current husband when you said all your other relationships were like punishing for what was done for you since you were 10 years?
Sure. How has 8th and 9th step helped me in terms of my husband? Yeah. No, we've had it's interesting because on the resentment thing I just did, I had written, who harmed me? I'm on the sex inventory. And I wrote my father-in-law, right? So I wrote his name. And what did he do? He emasculated his son. So he's a narcissist, and he just did a number on his son for a lifetime. And it's affecting me because it's continuing to affect my husband, right? So it's affect all these places in the third column and fourth column. So that's interesting, right? Like, my father-in-law is on my sex inventory, and he's never touched me. I mean, he's a very, you know, appropriate narcissist, very appropriate, right? But he's affected me because of his son and what he did to his son. But how the eighth and the ninth step has helped me so much is things like this, like looking at this, and again, looking at that stuff with the guys who did that stuff, and then looking at other, you know, I had lots of inappropriate things that happened with men, inappropriate stuff that happened with my father and brother and the comments and things like that. Just doing that and doing what I was directed to do here over the years, I just know that because I came into that marriage a very wounded woman. You know, my husband and I had a 9.5-year engagement. Right? And people would say, wow, that's a long engagement. Why the long engagement? I said, I'm afraid. They say, what are you afraid of? I say, what do you got? Shit. You know? I'm afraid of all of it. Right? So it was not an easy road for him. I mean, my husband is, you know, he's a lovely, saintly man. I mean, that's amazing. You know, anybody who, you know, and the statistics are pretty high. I don't want to quote them because I've heard figures that are, you know, pretty varied. But, you know, statistics are pretty high in terms of people who end up with eating disorders and who's been molested and who's been, you know, it's pretty high. Numbers are pretty high. So, you know, we end up pretty wounded birds. It does not make for an easy bedfellow or marriage partner or anything, you know. So I think it's just, you know, the continuing process. My husband and I, it's just gotten so much better. It's amazing. He's really been a revelation. We can talk more on an outreach blog and talk more about specifics and stuff.
Your relationship with your dad changed?
My father is deceased. Both my parents are deceased, and I got completely reconciled with my parents. I mean, they took complete responsibility, and you know, I didn't get time to get into the story with the how I got off sugar, but you know, my mom and I. My mom took responsibility for everything. There's a longer story. It's a great story. I don't have time for it, but yeah, I did. I got completely reconciled with my parents. They took complete responsibility. Yeah, it was great. And then they died. Right? Yeah. Anybody else? Well, yes.
That's
so cute.
Going back to the 4-3-5.
Yep.
So what I do, and it's worked for me, and I've done the 4-step in this program a few times, and also another program, is I write and put my book. I'll read to my sponsor because it motivates me to write more.
Beautiful. So right there, Lori, she's saying she wrote some stuff on her 4-step, reads it to her sponsor.
But I feel if I don't do that, I'll laugh.
Beautiful.
I don't know every year I get there all the time, but I get it done quicker because as I'm reading a few pages and I'm finishing that first few pages up to my sponsor, then I'll go back and say, call you in a few days and I'll read you more.
It's lovely.
And my sponsors do that with me too.
Lovely.
For me, it's just lovely.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What's your name?
Sally.
That's awesome, Sally. That's great. So very good, right? Isn't that great? I mean, there's so much wisdom in the room. We all have answers for one another. That's terrific. That's really, really cool. Yep. Yeah, one of my sponsors is blind. So she doesn't write her 4-step, right? So she sits down with her sponsor asks you when they're doing the big book one is, you know, who do you resent, right? Why? And does it affect you here? Does it affect? I mean, she just, you know, it's a sitting and talking through the process, right? 4-step. Right? Anybody else? Anybody want to share? Huh? Yes.
A question.
Sure.
I think I can answer, but I'd really like to hear what she's doing. What about people who are deceased?
Oh, sure. No, again, the letter writing is really good, and then. I didn't have that, you know, anybody that I had the issue with other than the men who'd molested me. And so what I did was I'd written a letter and then I had, you know, put it in a God box, and my sponsor put it in a God box as well. But I'd certainly have had plenty of sponsors. Because I sponsor chronic slippers exclusively, they're people who've been here for a long time and they've done a lot of damage. And, you know, in this program or in Alcoholics Anonymous, where they can really do some real damage, but people can do damage here too. You know, most of the people end up in situations where they're resenting people who are deceased. And, you know, they'll write the letters. And I remember with one guy, and he'd been trying to get sober for 20 years, and we went to the cemetery and he read, you know, letters to his mom and his dad, right? Where, you know, we went in front of the stones and, you know, read the letters, and he was just sobbing like a baby, you know? So things like that, you can absolutely do stuff like that. And then if, you know, I've heard people, you know, when the people have had, you know, stuff about children and things like that, I mean, you can make donations to charities, you can do volunteer work. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do like that. I had one sponsee, and she was amazing. We were doing the four step, and she'd been in, you know, here for a long time, for about 20 years, and she was grossly obese, right? She's about 150 pounds overweight, and she was having a very successful woman, very, very successful. And she, her knees were just blown out. She was blowing out her knees, right? Her doctors were saying, look, if you don't lose weight, you're going to start, you're going to be able to walk, right? She was 60, and she had a son who was special needs that lived in the home that she took care of, like a 35-year-old son, and, you know, and she was, a cat lady, so she had, you know, 29 cats, and, I mean, she just had, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of creatures, and, you know, I'm exaggerating about the cat number, but, I mean, just a lot of people dependent on her, and she could not stop eating, right? So she, surrendered, and, you know, we're doing the work, and we get to the fourth step. And then we get to the part where she has to write down if she's ever taken anything. And she talked about how she'd taken a lot of magazines from doctor's offices over the years, because she'd spent a lot of time in doctor's offices for herself and for her son and stuff. So we get to the eighth step, and she realizes she needs to make amends, because you made that list and you took the four steps, says the book. So, we're having the conversation as she is, we're going over that eight-step list, and she said, you know, she'd taken all these magazines, and I said, okay. I said, well, you know, we gotta pay that back, right? That stuff has to get paid back. So, what would you estimate is the amount of, you know, of magazines? You know, what's the dollar amount that we're looking at here? I said, because, you know how this works, right? You know how I roll. So, because you're going to have to pay that money back, and we'll find how you're going to do this. But what would you estimate is the amount? And she said, she paused for a moment. She said, well, and again, remember, she was trying to get so absent for about 20 years, and she's now absent like 2 months, right? She's losing weight, you know, her knees, saving her knees. And she understood how high the stakes were. And she said, well, she said, I would estimate about $5,000. I said, $5,000? I said, really? She said, yeah, I think so. I said, well, hang on a minute. I said, let's just think about this for a minute. I said, because I got to tell you, that figure sounds awfully high to me. And given that you will be paying this money back, I'm assuming probably my guess is that you're overestimating here. My guess is that the figure is probably not $5,000, which you would be paying back to somebody. My guess is that the figure is probably lower. So why don't you think about this again and tell me, what do you think the figure would actually really be? She said, no, I actually think it's probably $5,000. And I said, let's just call her Nancy. I said, Nancy, really? Because that's awfully high, and you got to pay that back. I mean, you know, that's kind of how I do this. It's how I was taught. And she said, no, that's fair, and I would say it was $5,000. So she agreed, and the next day she gets on our outreach call, right, our sponsee call, and reveals that she had contacted HR from her job. I mean, she had a big job, and she'd set it up to have $100 taken out of every check going forward, and it was going to go to, I think she gave it to the Red Cross. So after 50 weeks, right, she was going to have this $5,000 paid, because she just completely meant business, right? Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's pretty drastic. That's pretty drastic. That woman is never going to have to eat again if she doesn't want to. Nope.
So
it's I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lori. The woman behind you. Forgive me. And then I'll come to you. You're next. Please, babe.
Hi, Bridget.
I know, Bridget. Sweet Bridget. It's nice to see you, babe.
What if you have
resentment
with someone? I'm on my fourth step with my sponsor.
Yep.
What if you have so much resentment from someone that you just can't forgive? I'm just having a hard time writing my fourth step. And it's against my mom. And I can't get past it. I can't forgive. And I've been on my fourth step with my sponsor for months. And I'm sitting there trying to write it out and let it go, but how do you get past that resentment, that how do you forgive?
Well, let me ask you this, because this is always what I do, because I get a lot of people who call and ask questions like this, right? What does your sponsor say? Because that's the most important thing. What does your sponsor say?
She just keeps asking, when are you going to do it?
Okay. Well, again, here's my two cents, which is about what it's worth, right? If you were my sponsee, I would sit down with you, and I would bring this, and we would sit and do this together, right? And I would do that for as long as you needed me to do that, because there's nothing harder than forgiving mothers. I actually am doing a writing project. I always talk about I want to do. I shouldn't say it because it's actually such a good idea. But I actually want to do a thing helping women forgive mothers, and it's a huge, huge thing. It's huge. So for me, I would sit in the room with you, and we would do it this way. We would take the story out. The reality is, you have a lot of story, and you would probably find great value in doing some real heavy duty prose writing as well. But first and foremost, I would get you away from the story, and you would write very specifically. I mean, when I did one of these, and again, this was 10 years ago, I did an inventory on my mother, and my mom was still alive, but I filled up, you know, pages and pages of this kind of a thing, because I wrote down every specific thing. You know, I resent my mom, hit me with a sandal when I was 10 years old when I couldn't find the other one, you know. I mean, not hitting me, I mean, she was beating me, right? And so stuff like that, like I wrote every specific thing and it affects me in all these areas. So that's what I would do. I would sit in the room with you and hold your hand, actually, metaphorically, and I would be with you while you did it. Because, Bridget, it's essential that you do that. It just is. It just is. And I would love to support you, and we can talk more about that. You call me, and I'm happy to chat with you and support you in any way. And I so get it. I so get it on the mother stuff. My mother, I had an MS diagnosis. My mother's sister had died of MS 20 years before. I got diagnosed. I told my mother, got the information on the phone, got it revealed, and my mom and I had a conversation for the next. My mother, I got diagnosed in 94. My mom died in 2004. In those 10 years, my mother never called me once and inquired about my health. Ever. That's the kind of family I have, right? And I get to have how many resentments around that?
Zero.
Zero. Right? Nothing. I even went to the MS Society and told that story to a social worker, and she said, "Oh my God, I've never heard anything like that." Mm-hmm. Right? Now, my mom took responsibility for that, finally, before she died, 6 months before she died, right? And again, it's a longer story, but I so get this. You have no idea how I get it. I really do. I'm just telling you, baby, it's holding you bound, and I would love to support you and help you with this in any way I can. You call me anytime. And Lori, and then you. We'll get to everybody.
I have to ask my sponsor this real quick. But, you know, when you said about stealing from your mom, I had just watched that movie Inside Out the other night, and when the little girl goes and steals money out of her mom's purse or the credit card, and I'm like, I did that. And then when you said it, I'm thinking, okay, so now I need to make a mess. So I'm thinking, I have a single mom that has two kids. My mom was a single mom, and I'm like, taking money from her. And I'm thinking about how maybe I can make, you know, give her, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But
yep.
It's funny how all of a sudden three things are coming together. Like, yeah, that's a... I stole money out of her purse all the time.
I got you.
She'd go in the shower, that was it.
I got you. I got you. Yep. Yes and yes and yes. Yes and yes. And you had your hand up?
Yeah. Number one on my resentment list is my ex-husband. Still actively drinking, and he is verbally abusive. We unfortunately have contact. We still have a young daughter. And I have forgiven before, but then it keeps happening. And so, what do you do when it's a reoccurring resentment?
What does your sponsor say? Oh dear. Oh goodness. Oh dear. How's that?
Yeah,
How's that working?
You know, I'm so good at this. I can answer for my sponsor, I'm kidding. I need to get a sponsor.
Well, you know what? What's your name?
Brenda.
You know, the thing is, Brenda, is I so understand. I really do. And I just would hope for you that you would just give yourself the gift of really being loved and supported here and held, really. That's all. And, the word sponsor is not referenced in the big book at all, right? It's not talked about at all. On page 102, it does talk about how, we walked hand in hand. Let's find the thing. Because people who don't have sponsors and don't believe in sponsors always love to say, well, the word sponsor isn't in the big book. It's like, yeah, okay, all right. It's not. That's right. Okay, no, it's not page 102. It's 100. The first full paragraph says, both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen, right? So it's clearly making some reference, right, to getting some support. I would just invite you to get some support, right? So, because it would be really interesting to see what somebody who really knows you and is talking with you on a daily basis would have to say. You know, what I would say to somebody, and again, I don't have any experience with ex-husbands or, you know, children or things like that. So it's also important to find people who might have some experience in that regard. But I certainly, you know, would not be in touch any more than you have to be. And for that, I wouldn't have anybody making, live amends to a drinking alcoholic. Bless his heart. And I feel such compassion. I'm so sorry. I know the kind of pain that he's in. I just feel great compassion for alcoholics, being an alcoholic. I just feel great compassion for somebody who can't stop drinking, especially if he's got a young child. That's just tragic, right? But so I'm very, very sorry for that. But, right, I would have you write a letter, right? I would have you do that basic letter, and then the expansion, you were asking, like, what else do you do? I would have you do an expanded letter, like really writing to him, like, what do you want to say? I'd have you write the down and dirty letter, right? The, like, you stinker, right? The real, you're an asshole letter. I would have you write that, read that to me, and we'd have some process of, you know, burning, or I'm not a burner. But I mean, I'm a shredder, right? I just don't like burning is dangerous. But people are like, oh, I burned. I'm like, where? Where? Right? Where? But so I would have you do something like that. And then I would have you write the very heartfelt letter, the very vulnerable letter, right? Kind of hearkening back to the woman who married him however many years ago, bore a child with him, you know, because something hurt. I'm sure this is very hurtful for you. And I'm really sorry. And hurtful for your daughter. You said you had a daughter? Really sorry. Get a sponsor. Raise your hand if you're an available sponsor in the room. I'd get a sponsor. Yeah. Whenever I travel, you know, and I go to stuff and I'll go to meetings and stuff, I always go to meetings and I'll always say, like, I always go up to people who don't have sponsors if somebody's outed themselves, and I always say, you know, where I come in from in Los Angeles, we don't let somebody leave the room if they don't have a sponsor. So if you don't want me to come chasing you down, and, you know, because I already, you know, like, who's the sponsor? I would just get a sponsor. I would. And it doesn't, you know, people say, like, oh, I got to get the right sponsor. It's like, no, you don't. If you're drowning, a blue boat, a red boat, a purple boat, a green boat, a red boat will save your life. Get in the boat. Get out of the water. Right? The sharks are swimming. Right? They're circling. You're chum. Right? Get in a boat, for Christ's sake. Just get in a boat. Anyway, that's actually 3 cents. That's not two. That's 3 cents. It's my hope. For you. Just to give yourself a gift. You already got enough tough stuff going on. Just let us make it a little bit easier for you, and I think we can. Is all. Yeah. My love, you want to make your announcement?
No. Or you have something prior else? To that, I was just going to ask you a telephone number.
Sure, yeah. Here's my number. You can call anytime. Yep. You can call anytime. My phone's off when it needs to be, and I teach and I write, so it's off a lot. But I return phone calls, and it's not off for any other reason, but that I forget to turn it on after I've got it off. But the point is, you can call anytime. It's 310-413-1745. 310-413-1745. Also, the other thing is, Well, I guess we don't have a listserv. Let's just do it by phone. Do it by phone. But there's actually something. Take my email and send me, if you want to send me an email, there's something cool. I don't want to talk about it because we're, I want to stay conscious about the traditions and stuff. But there's something else cool I can turn you on in terms of 12-step stuff, in terms of meeting, a phone meeting that happens. And then they have recorded meetings and stuff and workshops and stuff that's pretty cool. So send me an email to S. Jenka, which is my last name, S-J-E-N-C-A at UCLA.edu. So S-J-E-N-C-A at UCLA.edu. And then I can, there's something else cool that might be helpful. Okay? Anybody else? Yes.
I have this question. So going back to your forgiveness thing, 1, 2, 3, the 3 is something nice you grab out
yep.
And you're not sending it to them.
Right, no.
And 1 and 2, you are dealing with those people? Why? Like 1, I forgive you for stealing my car. Maybe that's what you call that person.
No.
Right.
No. And again, the pages are really, clear about that. In terms of you don't have to do that. That's where again you're dependent upon good sponsorship, right? Discussing this with your sponsor. But no, I'm never calling anybody and saying, you know what? You did a real bonehead move. But I, in my infinite wisdom, have decided to forgive you, right?
With respect to the molestation.
They were deceased, but I never would have. And my sponsor said, if they were alive, I wouldn't have you contacting them.
So
now, sure, absolutely, right, to get away from my woundedness, so I could stop punishing all the half the people on the planet because of something that somebody.
Is what you're sending?
Yeah, and read it to my sponsor.
Okay, I get it. Okay.
Right. Yep. Yep. Just so that I could. Yeah. So no. I hear you. I might not have been clear in putting it out. I might not have. So yeah, I read that letter, and that's what I'm having when I have my sponsees read those letters. It's so that they really get it. Yes, this person did something hurtful, and when my sponsor had me do this, she said, "I'm really sorry this happened to you. Do you get it? That this shouldn't have happened to you." I mean, it was a loving conversation. I'm crying. She's holding my hands. She said, "I'm really sorry this happened to you." And yet, I think we got to find a way to get past this.
And that helped you get past.
Oh, it did. It changed everything. And I stopped punishing you and him and him. And you know what I mean? All of a sudden, half the men on the planet now, thank God, Sheila's done a 4-step, right? I mean, I just, and that's normal. It's a normal response, right? But it's not at all rational. And it's not at all useful at all.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, so it's 4:00, so we are officially done. But let's close with a prayer. But however, before we do, we have somebody who needs either, she's going downtown, if anyone's going downtown, or she needs a ride to the train station in Culver City. Great. So you got somebody right back there, deaf and turn. So raise your hand again, please, Melissa. Great.
Hello.
Thank you. Oh, that's great. That is so great. Good. Thank you very much. This was awesome. This was really, really great.
Thank you.
All right. So let's, I say we...